Hello, everybody. This is for April 6th, and I have a dirty little secret. I failed to click record on the actual call. So this is me making this up to you. And I kept racking my brain, like, where is it? Why didn't it download? And I'm like, So there we have it. All right. So at my encouragement for all of you to drop your questions into chat and I'll record when you do. The wait was so long, I did not. So here we go. So I'm going to kick it off with the best possible memory. And potentially we'll summarize this a little bit more efficiently for some of you anyway. So here's this. The first one of the biggest questions I think came in first from Shanna, and that was these three terms keep popping up as I'm catching up on podcasts lately. Of them, which is the most important? And those three things were gut health, metabolism, and inflammation. So I put this into perspective, and if I were going to give you the hierarchy, I'll give you that first. And it would be inflammation, because inflammation will lead to gut health issues. And inflammation will also disrupt metabolism. So, generally, if we looked at those three and said, which is the root cause or what do we want to solve for first, it would definitely be inflammation. So, let me give you a little description of each. With inflammation, the most common way we're used to thinking of it, but yet it's a little bit isolating and a narrow focus, would be numbers on your lab tests, like your A1C or your CRP, your C-reactive protein, in other words, your fasting glucose. And if you have a diligent, probably a functional doctor, they may have done your fasting insulin levels. And those are all indicative of your level of inflammation. But those numbers may be fine, and truly fine, meaning not only within norms, but of, an optimal enough level that still that's not putting you in the clear. If you have things going on, we also just have to pay attention to your signs and your symptoms. If you are feeling bloated, you're feeling puffy, you look in the mirror at your face and it just looks to you like not you. It looks like you're retaining water or you're feeling puffy. And I don't just mean under the eyes or after a, high sodium meal the night before, but we each know ourselves well enough, probably better, in fact, than anyone else. To know this is going to, this is very different than what my norm is. So that is inflammation. The example I'll give is, I experienced this, and if you use a smart scale, you actually may tune into this a little bit more easily. Say your weight goes up, but you actually notice your body fat percent doesn't go up, or your skeletal muscle mass doesn't go up. Well, then where did that weight gain come from? That would be indicative again of inflammation. When I was training for the very last Ironman, a long distance triathlon that I did in 2019, that was the case. I put on about 12 to 14 pounds during that training period. It was the year I hit menopause. I was exposed to mold early in the year, Christmas time, and then lived in it for the next 5 months, actually almost six, while it was being mitigated, and took time because it was winter time and traveling up the mountain and just multitude of delays. But then when it was done, it really wasn't done. They hadn't fixed the room with the real culprit in it, and so I then had to move, another major stressor, right? So there's physical stressors in the body, and then the physical fitness I was subjecting myself to, the emotional and mental taxation of having to find a place to live in really a relatively short time, pack and move while planning a retreat. It was a very crazy time. And then as I moved and got settled, I knew the training wasn't going well. I knew that my body wasn't responding as well to it, and I just was not fit. I felt fluffy, kind of just no other way to describe it. Fluffy is its technical a term I can get to. So that is inflammation. My, percent body fat and muscle mass wasn't going up, wasn't going down either, but it was the inflammation that was the problem. And I could tell that, although you and I probably both in that situation would say it feels like fat to me, right? It's certainly not feeling like muscle. So that's inflammation. So next, if we look at gut health, you've probably heard enough that all of this will resonate. But basically, the gut is supposed to, if you bring your fingers together and lock them, and so you can't see through your fingers, they're all closed, it's tight junctures. That's what's supposed to be happening in the lining of your gut. But instead, if you pull your fingers apart a little bit, now you can see light through them. That's often what happens if the gut lining is disrupted. The microbiome, which is a combination of all the gut bugs, the good gut bacteria and the bad gut bacteria. And by the way, we're supposed to have both. So we need them in a certain ratio. So I suppose in some way that bad bacteria is not all that bad, but we need a benefit from both by having them there. But they get out of whack and they get dysbiosis. It's not working and functioning as it should. And then often the synapses in the gut lining open up and particles of food don't actually get broken down before they go in across the barrier. And so they get into the bloodstream in larger particles, which causes problems. So that is what's known as quote unquote leaky gut. And it needs to be fixed. And so sometimes the way you end up knowing is you're tolerating maybe constipation, diarrhea, back and forth between the two, which often is diagnosed as irritable bowel syndrome. Might be gas, might be bloating, but you would probably get to the point where I can't tolerate this anymore. I want to know what this is. And so you end up doing a stool test, which tells you about the bacteria in your gut. And so that's where you learn, here's what I need to do to solve for this, or your doctor will, helping you get rid of the bad ones and helping you bump up the good ones meanwhile. And there may be some recommendations for you dietarily in terms of avoiding food sensitivities for a short term so you're not sabotaging yourself. So, gut health really important because where we started doing this in 2013 is I learned really early on that women could be doing all the right things or attempting to be very compliant, but weren't getting the results because it would come out much later that they weren't digesting, they have constipation, gas, bloating, diarrhea. And so, of course, they're not digesting. Even if you're eating all healthy food, I don't eat junk. I have a great diet. I'm, getting my protein in, but potentially maybe we're not breaking it down. We're not digesting it. And, or you're not just what you eat, you're what you absorb from what you eat. So we've got to be able to get those down and absorb it. So we're driving down the street with all the parts in the car functioning. That makes metabolism work. So if you're not absorbing all the magnesium is key in your metabolism. And there are other things as well that are helping you recover from exercise and get energy versus be fatigued. And if you're not absorbing those macro and micronutrients, that will harm metabolism. So that's kind of the domino effect. The other thing to think about in terms of not absorbing those foods, eventually you're going to start feeling fatigue. you're going to have higher cortisol levels. And if you do, you're probably more inflamed. And all of those also contribute to higher cortisol. Then adrenals get overtaxed. And the third thing in line there is thyroid. Thyroid is the master metabolism regulator. So, how many of you listening, I would ask, are on a thyroid medication or might suspect that your thyroid is not functioning well and all your doctor has done is kind of the Western status quo tests and you fall in norms? And we all know at least enough to be dangerous that norms do not indicate your optimal level for a great metabolism. They just are what insurance companies deem as this is okay. And doctors are not taught more than that in medical school. So, unless they've taken additional study certifications and/or functional medicine training, that's where they may stop. And not necessarily their fault, but it might be an eye-opener for you that there are other choices. So that's the hierarchy. So if you're going to focus on one to support any of those, it would be inflammation. And it would be things like eating an anti-inflammatory diet. And that's a moving target potentially for you in midlife. When your gut changes, because so much of hormones are created in gut and or benefit from a healthy gut, that you may not tolerate, say, dairy, and you did really well with it when you were younger and love it as a source of protein and or calcium, and you want to continue eating it, but the more you do, the more bloated or gassy or constipated and diarrhea you have. So those things are not your fault, not an indication you're doing anything wrong necessarily, but your gut may not tolerate the same thing as quote unquote healthy. When I come across a woman who says, "Well, I eat healthy. I have a really healthy diet." I'm always, thinking, "Okay, tell me more." Like, and tell me, how's your regularity, your constipation, gas, bloating, or diarrhea? Do you have any? Because that also tells me, whether or not it's truly healthy for you. And that is really all that matters. It's every one of us is slightly different. I wished I still tolerated dairy and whey protein, and I don't. And wish I tolerated whole eggs and could have more of them more frequently, but I don't. I can get by with them once in a while. And similarly, you've probably experienced food you used to have no problem, now it doesn't quite work for you the same way. So that might be an indication. Work on that gut. And it is telling you or hinting you've got some inflammation. And if you continue to consume the same foods, you will probably continue to experience that same inflammation or it will worsen. So, things to consider there. So, hopefully that helps. But I want you to understand that though you might think I need to bump up my metabolism or it's slowed because of habits I've had in the past, you can't just go for metabolism. You maybe can't just go for what you think you need to do for bone density and follow the ABCs for this optimal protocol, unless you fix the fatigue first or you fix the gut health that's leading to the fatigue. So there's a hierarchy that we use at Flipping 50. We train the Flipping 50 fitness specialists to do this so that we're using our halo method to say, okay, hey, where are you? What do you want? But what are your limitations too? Because we might need to put one of those before what it is we ultimately want for outcome. So hopefully that was a helpful synopsis. Then someone asked about Stronger 3. I'm in that right now. What's the next program? What would be a progression? That question is a really challenging one for me to answer. There isn't a natural, well, here after 3 is this, until we know, well, how are you feeling? Is this the first 3 months that you've been consistently strength training, or do you have a longer track record? How's your time? How's your energy? Do we have limitations in either of those? Because we've got a program for you, probably no matter what the answers to all those are. But that's how I would tell you. Here's the next best one, not just after three, but for you. That's the important part. So when you are in the app and you go to start here, there is a PDF that will give you a description of each of the programs. You can click directly on any of the programs and go to the description and read about it and get a synopsis of, about how long are those workouts. You actually see the entire workouts. You can see how long are these, roughly, an average. There are some maybe that are too long and I'm out, might be your comment. And that's okay, but you have a preview of any of them at all times. So you can look at them and before you decide, use the start here, the PDF. You can look at that and get a feel for, okay, this is exactly, the one I want. And then you can tell us in the community as well how you're feeling, what you want, and if you're feeling like you're ready for more, if you have any limitations, and we can help you from there as well. We do have a helpful AI tool coming too, by the way. It's just taken a little longer. We're trying to perfect it. So it's like talking to me, and you would get my response to here's the most important things based on each of these four categories. Somebody asked about the app and using the app, and the question suggested that some of you may be thinking that the app can only be used on mobile. That is false. So, that is a belief or an assumption that you've made. That is not true. So, if you plug into your browser, just like you would if you were going to any website, plug in app.flipping50.com. If you're on a laptop or an iPad or your desktop, and you will get to a place that functions exactly like a website does, just like flipping50.com did or has up until now, and it will be better and like an upgrade. So it is designed for video, and yet I don't even use our app. I don't use my own app on mobile. There's no reason to. So I have it so I can see it if I needed to, but I use it on my laptop and on desktop. I guess I've had that open there too. So if you are under that strange and odd assumption that it can only be used on mobile, so there are several instances we've emailed you that that is not the case at all. So just type in app.flipping50. Dot com. Flipping 50 is always spelled out in letters when it's on the domain. The brand name is Flipping 50, but spelled out in the domain in the browser. You'll just put in app.flipping50.com. If it's the first time you're there, don't use your username and password from your previous website login. You just put authenticate email and they will send you access. So if you are a member and you're in there with an active account, as you should be if you purchase, then they will send you within seconds your access link and you'll just go to your email and click it and boom, you should be in. If that doesn't happen, you can reach out to support and we'll help you troubleshoot why that would not be true. Okay. So everybody jump in there. We are closing the cafe.flipping50.com very soon. So everyone 100% will be on the app using it there. You will have a login at flipping50.com where you still can go and track my progress, where you're tracking your measurements, opting in, looking at your health history just to make sure it's up to date. That is a good protective insurance for you yourself to remind yourself, did I adjust my medication? Is there something I maybe should ask based on a recent diagnosis? It's a good idea for you to go through that so you know to come back and ask us about anything that could be, number one, impacting your exercise or how your exercise might impact any medication change you might have had, up or down, by the way. So you will also log in if you've ever had purchases or freebies that you've gotten that are not inside of the membership. So many of you purchased products. You have done the Total Fitness Formula for Women, or you have done Fit You in the past. And those programs were never inside of the membership and will never be. And so those you will still see when you log in. You'll still have the website that we will always have. We're just delivering the video exercise programs inside of the app where the subscription and activity lies. Okay, so one small glitch I will mention about the app is actually just a glitch for one individual. So know that that happens and remember the rule of thumb that we all do really well when we reboot. Right. So one individual had this happen to her, and we knew nothing was wrong with her account. She just needed to, turn her phone off and on. And that generally reboots something. So if it's just a little fluke, there's nothing wrong with the app. Nobody else is reporting it. You have all of the right settings. Try just turning it off, turning it on, try removing it. You can remove an app from your dashboard and then just go and get it again. And sometimes that too will help. But if you don't turn off your phone once in a while, that's probably a really good idea because your apps will update, changes will occur, and your phone may have updated and they just need to sync. So, nothing of that nature can we prevent. That was probably you, your phone uniquely. But just realize again, the simplest thing we can do is unplug, plug it in again. It always, always solves the problem. Or at least 99% of the problem time it does. So, hopefully that was helpful. I hope that this has been helpful, a helpful synopsis and catch up for you and summarizing exactly what we went over today. So, thank you all of you who asked questions about yourself. If I missed your question in the recap, fortunately, all of you who were able to attend live did. And I will see you on the flip side. Somebody's job is to remind me to click record. Thanks, everybody.